Lord God, open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts that we may together hear and receive your word, even Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please sit down. What would happen if Jesus came to our church or to one of our villages? What would he see? And what do you think that he would do? Do you think he'd do what we'd expect him to do? If we actually read the Gospels, gives us some clues. Where would we find him in the village? We might find him in somebody's home with lots of people coming round. We might find him in the Seven Stars, having a drink with people, having a chat. Might even find him in the medical centre, helping people with their health problems. What would he be like? And what would it be like to be with him if he was here in church and you sat down next to him? What would it be like after the service? What would you feel like when he turned and talked to you? I think you might feel very, very accepted. I wonder, though, as he stayed here and as we got to know him, actually physically here, do you think there might be things that we might feel perhaps we ought to change a bit? Perhaps we ought to change in ourselves a bit, in our church a bit, to make us more like Jesus, more fitted to this wonderful person who we follow? Well, as I said, over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about some of these things. And we're going to be asking the basic question, how can we be more Christ-like as individuals, as a church, and as a parish and benefice? And we're going to be taking a special look at Jesus's teaching in the Beatitudes, which is why I read that for you first thing this morning. You might not have taken it all in. Go away yourself and read it sometime. If we can drink deep from this teaching, we will find that our lives will just begin to realign themselves to Christ, and our church and our benefice will just become that little bit more like Christ. It's as you kind of go along the road, you align yourself to be going in the right direction, to be on the right side, to be turning the curve in the right place. And as we follow Christ, we just begin to realign ourselves that bit better to be more like him. And who knows what might come of that and what the result of that might be. And we're going to start this morning with just one verse from this teaching to ask ourselves this question, what are we called to be? And it's from Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 is the Beatitudes, so that's where you can find it if you want to read it yourself at home. And it's chapter 13, which is, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Well, we tend to use salt for flavouring, don't we? We're all told we're not supposed to use so much these days, aren't we? And we're not supposed to kind of pour it on. I can remember as a teacher, kids, you know, at the school dinners, you know, pouring salt on their food and on their chips. And we're told we need to use a bit less. We use it for flavouring, to flavour food. It brings out that flavour, doesn't it? Just a little bit in there. In New Testament times, and in a lot of times in our history, probably up to less than 100 years ago, we use salt for preserving. I'm sure certainly our grandparents would have been using salt for preserving things, because salt helps to keep things fresh and it keeps food safe. So if you have salted meat, it keeps it fresh. You can keep it for longer. And it also does add the flavour. So we're commanded to be salt, to keep things healthy, to stop them going rotten, to keep ourselves healthy, to stop us going rotten, to keep the earth healthy, to keep communities healthy, to stop them going bad, to be that sort of bit that makes them good, that gives them flavour, that helps them to work, that helps them not to go wrong. If we don't do that, we're not doing what we're called to be. And the problem comes if we go stale, if the salt loses its saltiness, if it becomes yesterday's salt, if it's been all used up and it's just actually not really salt anymore. We need to be salt. We need to be salt for today. We need to be able to preserve and give flavour to today's community around us and to the young people around us, the old people around us, to our community here, the challenges that we have here. And as church, we're called to be salt in that way. I've just been at a big diocesan conference for the clergy of the Oxford Diocese. There were 350 of us there, and we were half the clergy in the diocese. Gives you an idea of how many people, doesn't it? We're in a big conference centre up in Derbyshire. That's what the biggest one in the country to fit in. And you might think that was a very impersonal place to be, but it was an amazingly lovely conference. People mixed, people talked to people they didn't know, made new friends, met old friends. And the worship was a lovely mix of old and new by the very skilled new presenter at the cathedral. And it was beautifully woven with new songs and old songs, with art, even incense at one point, beautifully mixed. And it showed how the diocese was being salt for today. And we are commanded to be salt for today. And some of those things might slightly feel uncomfortable, but they help us to keep looking forward. And it certainly doesn't throwing out everything from the past, but it means building on it, making it new, making it fresh again, having a fresh start, like we're having today, having this 10 o'clock service here in Dinton. When I got married, I had, you know, what is this like? You have the beautiful wedding dress, you have the beautiful bridesmaids' dresses, lovely, lovely flowered material. But then you put them away and you never see them again. It's very difficult to know what to do with a wedding dress, isn't it? Many of us got them in our cupboards. My mother cut up her wedding dress and made little dresses for us. And she cut up her ball dress. She was a tailor's daughter. She was a very good seamstress. She cut up her beautiful ball dress, which was in turquoise satin, which she had made herself when she met my father. And she was a very good seamstress, very beautiful young woman. And she cut that up to make dressing up clothes for us when we were children. What a lovely thing to do. And her wedding dress she cut up to make clothes for us as children. That was in embroidery anglais. It was really beautiful. With my wedding dress, couldn't bear to cut it up. But my sister-in-law made beautiful quilts. And she took some of the spare material, and she took some of the spare material from the bridesmaids and from the same as the wedding dress. And she made this beautiful quilt panel that I still have of all the colours and of all the fabrics, remixed them and made them into something different. And they're a beautiful sort of peachy colour. The bridesmaids, it was silk and it was flowered material. And she put a little line of dark blue around it, because she said you need a contrast to bring out the colours, and it looks lovely. I should have brought it this morning, actually, to show you. I'll bring it another time to show you. But we need to be new, but it's about remixing the old. It's not about something throwing out the old and bringing in the new. It is about making it new, making it something for today. You see that as you see things go forward. And we've seen it here, the messy church that goes on fourth Sunday afternoons. If you haven't been to it, go and have a look sometime, 4 o'clock on fourth Sundays. It's a lovely way to reach the families who come to the school. In Kingsley this morning, they're having a little breakfast service when they have a family service and they have refreshments. And it's again a way in which they're meeting those young people, remixing things to make something for the next generation. But it is about you bringing the old together with the new. On Thursday night, for our Ascension Day, we have a prayer book service, because I love prayer book, and we all love it, and it does give us that that sense of history, that sense of deep prayer, and that real ability to connect with God. So we have this mix of things as we remix, like my sister-in-law with her patchwork quilt of my wedding fabrics. And then we're called to be out in the community, to be salt in the community, and to go out and be there. And it's probably things you're doing already. All sorts of things. If they're things you're involved in the community around you, then you're there as salt, whether you know it or not. And just think about that. So what does it mean to be more Christ-like? What would it be like if Jesus came to our church and was physically here for a few weeks so we got to know him, so that we could see from him what it was like? How would it be in Dinton? How special that would be. And yet, do you know? He is here. He is with us, not physically, but he is here with us. And we can know him. And he's calling us to be more like him, which isn't something way over there beyond anything that we thought, or just for those really keen people. It's for all of us. And it's just little ways in which we just realign ourselves. And we find ourselves more like him. And we find ourselves together as a community more like him. And then we are able to be that saltiness to our whole community. So it's not trying to be something you're not, but it's letting go and letting God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this Sermon on the Mount. It is a challenging passage. And yet, Lord, it so encourages us. Thank you that you've called us to be salt. Help us to be that salt for this community today, to be that salt as church together today, as individuals today. Help us not to lose the old. Help us to look forward as we weave the old and the new together, knowing that we can do so, trusting that you're calling us forward. Amen.